Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
I hope everyone's doing well and excited to be here. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited for what God is going to do during our time together. And as we just jump more into Psalms, the book of Psalms, and I just am so excited to just share with you what God has really put on my heart. And I know that there's something there for you this morning. So whatever it is, get ready, lean in, and we're going to have a great time reading God's word together this morning. So we are looking at the book of Psalms, and we're just picking out different Psalms throughout the book that are pointing us really to God. And so we're going to be looking at Psalm 40 together this morning. And a fun fact is that during this week in my research, I discovered that the band U2 back in the 80s actually wrote a song about Psalm 40, and it was kind of on repeat in my mind this week. So it's a pretty cool song, 80s flair to it, if you like that, but check it out. So, but we're going to discover in this chapter, Psalm 40, the rhythmic cycle of redemption that's found in the poetic words. And the book of Psalms really is just, it's a collection of poems, songs, raw feelings, right? Joe talked about that last week. It's really just this rawness, just coming to God with just your feelings in that moment and not really shying away from that. Just saying, God, this is how I feel. I don't feel okay right now, but I'm not going to stay that way. And that's really what Joe taught us last week. So today we're going to discover in Psalm 40, God's promises when we wait for him to help us. And when we trust his ways. So we're going to dive right in. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. And the Message Bible says it this way. Let's see if you can catch on. I waited and waited and waited for God. Right? It's like this waiting, this time of waiting. So by a raise of hands, who likes to wait in line at the store when you have children with you and they have to keep a mask on and all that? No one, right? You don't like to do that. Or maybe you really, really like waiting for a special day, an arrival of a baby, new house you're getting, new job, wedding, right? You're just like, I love waiting for this. This is so awesome that I get to wait for this to happen. No, right? Maybe, this is my favorite one, maybe you like to wait for your food, you know, that time after you place your order and your stomach is kind of like eating itself and you're like, wow, this is so fun. I love waiting so long for my food. This is great, right? No one likes to do that. No one wants to wait because waiting is hard. It's the reason we do our fast passes for Disney World like 60, 90 days before, or it's the reason we call ahead and make a reservation because we don't want to wait for a table. We humans do not like to wait. It's true, right? We've been told that waiting is long. It's boring, it's not productive, it wastes our time. You feel stuck when you're waiting in that same spot, right? Like there's a hold on your life. And this is culture's view of waiting. But the psalmist here in Psalm 40, he describes waiting on God in a very different light. It's like we need to be taught how to wait. Because it's not really natural for us to want to wait, especially those that have little kids. You know, like it's not natural for us to wait. Now, some of you may know that I used to teach preschool, and I used to teach preschoolers with autism. And most of my students would come in 3 or 4 years old, and they wouldn't have any means of functional communication. That means they didn't really have a way to communicate with words, their needs and their wants. But something that was on my mouth very frequently while I taught my students was this phrase. And I would say things like this. I know waiting's hard. I know it's hard to wait. First wait, then snack, right? And this was the first program I really would teach my new students. It was how to wait, because in the classroom, it's important to wait your turn and how to wait appropriately. And we would typically teach our students with the use of this visual, this wait card. There it is. And it's the dreaded wait card. Like, that would come out and be like, no, I have to wait. And they would just, like, hold on to it for dear life. And like, some of them that could count, like, they would count, like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'm still waiting, right? And that's how it started. But I want to tell you that by the end of the year, it was amazing. They learned how to wait because they started to trust me as their teacher. They started to trust that, okay, she's going to do what she said she's going to do. I just have to wait here for this moment, right? And for some reason, all the years teaching the students, it always surprised me. I always was like, wow, they're doing it. Like, we would all, like, look over at each other and be like, they're waiting. Okay, nobody look, nobody smile, nobody breathe. Like, they're doing it. And it would surprise me, and I think it surprised me because as a 32-year-old woman, I still have a hard time waiting, right? And I think I'm not alone in that. But here they were, these 3 and 4-year-olds, and they got it. They learned to trust me and that I was going to help them as they patiently waited. And maybe some of us this morning, we're waiting. We're waiting for a new job. We're waiting for a spouse. We're waiting for healing. We're waiting to know what our next steps are going to be. Maybe you're waiting for relief from a situation. What are you waiting for this morning? What prayer is on just repeat to God? In Hebrew, and yes, I'm going to speak Hebrew, so get ready, okay? In Hebrew, the phrase waiting patiently is said this way. Ready? Kwava, kwava. I think that was better than the first verse. It's the same Hebrew word, kwava. It's written 2 times in the original Hebrew text of this passage. And it's used for both the word waited and it's used for the word patiently. And it's kind of this emphasis. When this was done in the Hebrew language, they're emphasizing this waiting. And that's what the author here is doing. It's not just this waiting, like, oh, yeah, I waited, and then it was over. No, it's this I'm not giving up level of waiting. This level of waiting just doesn't give up so easy. It's waiting. Okay, I'm waiting on God. So Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Kwava. And I know waiting is challenging. Trust me, I know. And it's hard to do, but it's always worth it. Waiting on God, it is worth the wait. Micah 7:7 says, "But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for my God, my Savior. My God will hear me." And as we read on, David describes the tremendous progress he sees in his life that God provides for him as he waits for God to do the work. So have you ever talked to someone who is like an excellent listener? Like, I know it happens every day when you talk to your children or your spouse, right? Like, you're like, wow, they listened so well to what I say because I said get your shoes on 10 times, but no. Right? That list seems to be a little shorter of those that truly listen to you. But when you have that moment when you're speaking with someone, you're like, wow, this person is really honed in and listening to what I'm saying. You feel encouraged, right? You feel special. You feel wanted. And this is what David writes about God. He says, "He turned to me and he heard my cry." And David is reminding himself in that moment and us today that God hears your cries. He hears you. He knows what you're longing for. He knows what's best for you and what you need. The Bible often describes God as a father. And in Psalm 68:5, it says, "He's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling." God hears you because he created you. And when you believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, you become adopted into his family. Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says, because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And this scripture, it's so specific in describing God as Father. It's purposeful because it gives us that image of our Father. As a parent and a mother maybe listens to their children, they incline, they bend. That's what God does, right? You take care of your child's needs. You listen to their cries. And you just, as an earthly parent, we just try our best to meet their needs, right? But God, he always does. He always sees. He always meets our needs because he has the heart of an adopted father. And I know not everyone's experiences here on earth with your earthly parents may be healthy ones. But I want to remind you, when you know God is your heavenly father, you can trust that he has his best for you. Don't allow those negative experiences of an earthly parent's flaws shadow what God, your heavenly father, has for you, those positive moments and these blessings that we're going to dive into. So the question is waiting worth it? Why even wait on God? We're going to look back at how David reflects on a time in his past where he waited on God and God turned his ear to him. And I found four blessings that David finds during this time and that God provides as he patiently waits for him. Okay, so Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And the first blessing we see here is that God provides for David a way out. He lifts him up. And I believe he will lift you up too this morning. So I have this one memory, and we confirmed that it's actually happened. It wasn't just a memory. Because you know when that happens sometimes? Like, you think something happened, but it actually didn't. It was just a dream and get all sorts of confused. So, I don't know. So, there was this one time, Pastor Keith and I, we were dating, we were teenagers, and my mom took us to this concert, and it had just rained, and it was all outside. And I remember this moment as, like, a teenage girl in flip-flops, just, like, walking through, like, the mud, and then just kind of, like, sinking. And I was just like looking at him like, help me. Like, I can't get out. I was totally stuck. I was sinking. And he was so kind and grabbed me out of the mud. After a while. After he pointed and stared and laughed. No. But I may have. I don't know. There was also no way to clean yourself because it was like an open field of like concerts and bands and stuff. So it was just like a bad situation of mud. And nobody likes that. You don't want to be covered in mud, right? But so for this, David's audience would have understood that this slimy pit imagery of this old cistern that was dug out, a well in the ground, that was used to get water but is no longer useful anymore. And so what would happen is at the bottom would kind of get all just muddy and mucky and vines, but it wasn't really used for anything but throwing people in there to starve and die. And because there was no way out. And so as David is reminding himself of God's promises and his blessings, he is saying that he was in that slimy pit, that he was stuck in the mud. And we can kind of visualize that, but sometimes it's harder to apply it to our lives. But I think that we're able to do that because the bottom of a slimy pit is kind of like when you're in trouble, right? When you're down and alone and you're stuck, there's calamity, there's death. Yet David trusted God that God will provide a way out, even when there was no way out, literally no way out. And this illustration reminds me of our sin problem this morning, because sin will cause us to feel like we're stuck and like we're sinking at the bottom of a muddy pit. But God, He provides action. And that's what David is reminding us this morning. He provides, He promises to lift you up out of your sin. And no matter how far away from God you feel this morning, and how far away you think that you are, I promise you, He wants to lift you up out of the mud that's holding you captive and stuck in your situations, out of your sin that's destroying your life, and out of the hurt and the pain that's holding you captive and keeping you trapped from living a joyful life. Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." And that word forgiven, it actually means lifted off. Take that as a visual right now, right? God, He lifts off our sin from us when we confess unto Him. And that's such a beautiful promise, right? When Jesus lifts our sin from us, we are forgiven in Him. And what is so amazing about that is that God, He doesn't just lift us out of something and just leave us hanging there. He brings us on to something. And the next verse says, "He set my feet on a rock, and He gave me a firm place to stand." And I believe that's blessing number two. God plants your feet on the solid rock, who is Jesus Christ. So during the summer, every Friday, my family and I loved to go to the beach. My favorite place to go. We'd get up early, pack some snacks, and head out to the beach. And we just had a great time together in the sand and the waves, right? Having a great time. And I know that's not everybody's like favorite thing to do. And I'll pray for you because, I mean, come on, like, it's so relaxing. But the one thing that I really dreaded, I mean, really dreaded, when we would go to the beach, was when Cece, who's 4, my daughter, she'd say, "Mommy, I have to go potty." I'm like, "Great. Are you sure you have to go potty? Like, you're sure you have to go potty?" "Yes, Mommy, I really have to go potty." Okay. So that walk, right, through the sand. It's so hard, and it's hot, and, like, you can't really wear your flip-flops, but it burns your feet without them, and you're just walking through the sand. And that moment when you get to the steps or the boardwalk and you put your feet on it, it's solid. Now I could walk differently. And it kind of changed my attitude too. It was easier for me to walk. And isn't this true, I think, in our faith journeys? Let's just visualize a rock, right? It's strong. It's firm. It doesn't easily sway. It's safe and secure. ESV version of the Bible says it this way: "He sets my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." Every step you take, it's secure. It's not sinking. And as David reflects on his journey, he clearly defines the difference between being in the mud and being on the rock. And maybe this morning, you've been in the mud for so long that you're not even trying to get out anymore. And I pray that David's words will encourage you and remind you of God's promise to lift you up and to set your feet on something solid, unchanging, and secure. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, it says this: "Remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ." Jesus is described so many times in the Bible as a cornerstone. And a cornerstone is what is laid down first to kind of build the rest of the foundation, the rest of the wall. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household," right? We talked about God as our Father. "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone, and your firm foundation is secure in him. And I don't want to forget it, because times will come, and perhaps they already have, that will cause you to feel like you're sinking in mud, and you're sinking and you're stuck. But I want to remind you of these two blessings and these truths. He promises to lift you up, and he promises to securely plant your feet. And when Jesus is your cornerstone in life, you go from sinking to standing. You go from no way out to a sure and clear direction. And then David goes on to say, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. So I love music and I love singing, but I can't really carry a tune, but I don't actually care. And I normally don't even know all the words. I kind of just make up my own words as I go along. But again, I actually don't care. It doesn't bother me because I just like singing and I enjoy it. But what David is talking about here, he's not just talking about singing a literal song. He's talking about an attitude, that God gave him a new attitude. He had a new beat in life. And Jesus, he makes you new. You're no longer humming that mud song, right? Maybe your mud song sounds like this. Oh, I don't know what to do. It's not fair. This isn't easy. I'm just going to give up. It's complaining, it's hopeless, and it's dark. But when you're on the rock, your tune is totally different. And God, he provided for David, he provided something new as he waited and he trusted him. He gave David a new attitude and a new outlook. A new song, it's alive. It's full of life. It's full of joy. It's hopeful. And God, he has a new song for us today. And it's not just in how we speak and what we say. It's in our actions and our attitudes. It's the way we respond to life's troubles. It's different when we have God's new song in our life. It's how we react to situations. It's different. It's new when we have God's new song in our lives. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." And what a beautiful blessing that is. A new song in your life when you trust God. It doesn't mean the situation will go away or be any easier, but when you have a new song, there's a new outlook, a new attitude. And then the rest of the verse says this: "Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." When you decide to wait on God and trust in him, the blessings are incredible. We talked about those blessings, but it's not just for you in your life. It's for others too. He uses you in those moments to bring hope. We sang that song. Hope has a name. It's Jesus. And your friends and your family, they'll start to see that change in you. Your coworkers and your neighbors, they'll say, "Wow, there's something different about them." Matthew 5:16 says this: "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And isn't that a beautiful image of the family of God? When you help others know God, you're fulfilled. So this morning I have some thought-provoking questions. And these are, they're not just like, oh, Sunday school answer, where you give the right answer, but you're not actually thinking about it. These are real questions. Maybe even jot them down if you have, or put them on your phone. The first one is, are you living in the pit? Or are you living on the rock? And the second one, what have you been waiting for? And are you trusting God with it? And I said at the beginning, this is like a cycle of redemption. Because I think sometimes we know God and we've surrendered our life to him, but we still allow the things of this world and the mud and the vines to trap us. And so I just want to remind you that crying out to God in that moment is not for you to feel ashamed or feel like you're too far gone from anything that God can do, because he can meet you right there in the mud. He's not scared of it. He is not scared of your situation. He's not scared of those vines. He's not afraid. He's already conquered it. And so I just want to encourage you that if that's where you find yourself this morning, there's hope and there's Jesus Christ, your rock. And we run to that and we stand firm. And it doesn't mean that things get easier, but it does mean when you're standing on the rock and your steps are secure, when the troubles come, you're not easily swayed. And I think that's something that I'm so encouraged by with our Blaze groups here, is that we're walking with each other. We're standing on the rock together week after week. So I encourage you, be in a group this week. Don't let this week go by where you're not connecting with someone else that is standing on a rock. And so it's just like when I was teaching my students how to wait, right? It took time and it took patience. It took consistency. But once they started to trust me and they learned to wait, they learned that it was worth the wait. And I know waiting is hard. I know. And I know sometimes it feels like God isn't hearing you. Can you feel those blessings that David experienced, right? He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he was lifted up. That was the first blessing. He was secured on the rock. He was made new. And through it, others came to discover God's goodness too. Are you experiencing these four blessings in your life? In the very last verse of Psalm 40, David writes this: But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. He trusted God's plan, but he lived surrendered to him. And today, we have Jesus as our cornerstone of our lives. He's the one that lifts all of our sins off of us, right? He lifts them off. And it's because he took them onto himself. Jesus is our substitute in those moments. He paid the price for our disobedience to God. And God, he can't be close to sin. So in his great rescue plan, Jesus took on all of humanity's sin and he conquered it and he kicked it in the butt. I don't know, I just like saying that. But Jesus, he sank into the deepest pit of destruction in that moment. Jesus, he patiently waited on the Father. He endured and waited. And Jesus, he always trusted God. And although God turned away from his Son in that moment when Jesus became sin for you and me, the Lord inclined. He heard. He turned his ear and he brought him up out of the terrible pit of destruction and the mud, so Jesus could become our rock of salvation, upon whom we get to stand firm on. And today, if you believe that promise and you desire to know God as your personal Lord and Savior, it would be my privilege to pray with you. You say this morning, I want that. I want a new song in my life. So let's just join together in this moment. Make this prayer your own in this moment. It's not just words, but it's heart change. So if you're feeling this morning for the first time, you want to know God, let's just pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again to make me new. Today, I give you my life In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just celebrate, right? And maybe this morning you do know God as Lord and Savior of your life, but lately you feel like you're stuck in that mud cycle. And you feel like you're just waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting forever. And my prayer for you this morning is that you won't be discouraged in that waiting. So I'm just going to pray just for everyone that feels like they're just waiting. And then we're going to take the next few moments to stand and sing about having a firm foundation, building our lives on Jesus. So after I pray, I ask that you just put your mask on and stand up. But let's just take this moment to really pray and just don't let it pass you by. Close your eyes and just think to God. Just pray to him in your mind as I lead us. Heavenly Father, sometimes we are so stuck in our own ways and what we think is best. We allow it to trap us, and this morning we're just surrendering it to you. I pray for every person here this morning that they will feel your closeness, that they will know you as Abba Father, that they would cry out to you. And Jesus, that you would lift them up, that you would plant them firm, and that they can know and go on in this life having a new song and declaring your goodness to everyone they encounter, Jesus. May your Holy Spirit fill them up and propel them forward. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your blessings. May we be encouraged today and be a people that will stand firm on your goodness and your truth, as Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives. We love you, Lord. Amen.